What is up, everybody? Shauna D Man here. Hope you guys are doing pretty good. Hope you guys are having yourselves a great, or you had yourselves a great New Year's weekend. We are back. Typically, Nerd Talk comes out on Fridays. There is an episode coming out Friday, but you're getting kind of a double header this week to kick off the new year. So we are here with this week's guest. Tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, so my name's Angel. I am just a small-time content creator on TikTok and Instagram. I talk all things fandom, especially Star Wars, and I am an aspiring voice actor as well.
Okay. Your audio is a little low.
Let's see.
We could
Not
probably just.
sure. I did not set up my microphone,
No, you're
unfortunately.
good. You're
Sorry. I
good.
hope
Not a lot of people
won't
use
take
Zoom
me
as
back.
much anymore, so which is.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do on my end to boost that audio up a little bit? I might even just bring myself a little
No,
closer here.
I
So,
think we're good. We can just work through
all
it. It's not
right.
that big of a deal.
I'll just
But
try to project as much as possible.
where I want to start with this. So Star Wars. So what got you? So first question, what got you started with this Star Wars content creation that you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm more of a recent Star Wars fan too.
Oh.
Honestly, I didn't really get into Star Wars much at all until the pandemic. It was just a little bit before that that I had started watching Clone Wars. Obviously, I'd seen all the films, and I would say I was a fan, but it wasn't until Clone Wars that I really got into it. And then the content creation came a little bit later. I started having the idea about creating fandom content. I was inspired by a lot of people that I saw on TikTok. Some bigger people like Straw Hat Goofy and then Magic with Meg. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of her. She's a Star Wars and Disney creator. And I just saw a lot of people talking about fandom. And I was like, there are so many things that I love about Star Wars and about fandom and all this stuff. And I would just love to share my thoughts and be a part of that. So I started about just a couple weeks later in January, like last year, started kind of posting semi-regularly. And then when I went to Star Wars Celebration in London this past year,
Oh.
I just was exposed to so many incredible people and kind of started creating more content. Kind of was inspired by that. So, yeah.
Oh, lucky. I would have loved to have been there. I kind of came across that late, so I didn't know. At the point of it already coming up, it was already too late for me to try to plan anything.
Yeah.
I wanted to plan. I mean, technically, I guess I still could plan, but I would love to go to what is this? It's in Japan.
It is. It's in Tokyo in 2025. So they're
Yeah.
doing another out of the states celebration. So two in a row, London and Tokyo. But I'd love to go to that one. Not
Yeah.
sure if it's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I would love to go to that one for sure. Man, let's see. So tell us about your time at Star Wars Celebration. What was that like for you as somebody who just recently started to get into Star Wars?
Really incredible, honestly. And I'll admit, I kind of threw myself into Star Wars pretty wholeheartedly after watching Clone Wars. So I've been pretty in depth in the fandom. And I've been to several other conventions. I have a local convention that I work at. So I was used to the Comic-Con atmosphere. But A, being in a foreign country, which was the first time I'd ever been in Europe, and then being at Star Wars Celebration, where everybody is there for the same thing. When you're at a convention, there's people there for anime and people there for Marvel or DC or Star Wars or all across the board. But when you're there for Star Wars Celebration, everybody is there for Star Wars. And that atmosphere is so energetic. It is insane. everybody, or at least most everybody, knows who everybody's cosplaying because we're all part of the same fandom. And so people are coming up to you and are so excited, and they're announcing stuff throughout the entirety of that weekend. And so everybody is just constantly hyped. There is never a dull moment. There is so much to do. And the atmosphere there, the Star Wars fandom has a reputation, and albeit it's a legitimate reason for being more toxic, especially when it comes to the internet. But when you are there in person, I've never been around more encouraging and uplifting people. Just everybody is so kind and is so wanting to hype up the other people around you, and just being there to celebrate this fandom all together, it is an experience unlike anything I've had in my entire life. It was amazing. Like, best 4 days of my life, or at least coming close. It was incredible.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. With the Star Wars, yes, does have a toxicity issue, and like I know recently there's been a person for sure who whose takes I don't agree with, very bad takes. But it is what it is. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, even if it's a bad opinion. But I one of the most chilling things that I really enjoyed watching Star Wars Celebration was with Hayden Christensen and the amount
I was
of,
there for that.
oh,
I was
really?
there for that. I was in that crowd about 50 feet away, bawling my eyes out, screaming
Yes,
at the top of my
because I
lungs.
grew
I
up,
will
so
never forget that moment. As
yeah,
long as I live, I will never forget that.
it was
Oh,
such a
man.
moment.
I'm literally going to cry talking about it. That moment was like, I can't even describe what it was like to be there. It was incredible.
I remember growing up because when I grew up pretty much with the prequel trilogy, now albeit the original trilogy would come on TV sometimes. I seen clips of the original trilogy, but I never sat through and watched from start to finish. But the prequel trilogy, I just remember just the amount of like hate that people had towards Hayden Christensen and everything. Not just him, but oh, what is his name? Ahmaud Be Jar Jar. I forget. But
It
with
was
Hayden, it
bad.
was just like I enjoyed Hayden. I had no issues with whatever, and he was acting based on what George Lucas wanted, and so there was no issue about that. But just to watch just the amount of love and support that just that clip of him, just everybody just like loudly cheering and clapping for him, and you can see it on his face, the amount of like love and affection that he was getting at that moment. I was very much happy for him. And then I was very much happy for the actor who played Jar Jar Binks, who had the similar in stuff going on with him and his character. He shows up in The Mandalorian, in the
That
flashback,
was so awesome.
and it was just so good that these characters that people disliked years ago started to get so much appreciation now with newer
Absolutely.
fans, and even older fans have come around for the most part on some of these characters.
Yeah. The prequel trilogy is definitely my era as well. That's what I won't say I grew up watching, because my first memories of Star Wars are the original trilogy, but that's what intrigued me when I was first watching the films. And I've always loved Hayden. And so being there in that moment, and I had actually met him about half an hour before that happened. My sister and I did a photo op with him. So we had literally just met him. And then to see him come up on that stage half an hour after actually getting to talk with him in person, and seeing how much love he got, seeing in person how emotional and how much it meant to him. He was also so kind when I met him. He thanked every single person that walked in that photo booth. And if you've ever done a photo op like that, you know how quick they are. They like yank you out of that room. But he made sure to make eye contact with every single person and say, "Thank you so much for being here." And he's like one of my favorite people of all time. At that moment, I was so happy for him. I just can't even describe. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then even more love and appreciation for him with him showing up in the Ahsoka series, and
Oh my
it
gosh.
was that was just which we'll get into a lot of the like Star Wars movies and shows and everything. But that was it was just great for him. Out of the trilogy, for me, growing up with the prequel trilogy, I Revenge of the Sith is my favorite.
Awesome.
A lot of people dislike, not necessarily dislike, people don't is Attack of the Clones is underrated in my opinion. Just the way the movie sets up and the way it was shot and everything about
Yeah.
it, I can see why people don't like it as much, but it's definitely my second favorite, and then Phantom Menace is third, which I enjoy Phantom Menace, but like, oh man, Revenge of the Sith has always been my favorite Star Wars movie. Just that opening shot of Obi-Wan and Anakin flying over the Venator battle
Right.
Coruscant. It's just amazing. I loved it.
It's an incredibly iconic moment. And Revenge of the Sith is also my favorite Star Wars film and in my top three films of all time. So
Oh yeah. Oh
absolutely agree
really?
with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start. Okay, so let's start with the movies, and then we'll kind of move into the shows. With the
Yeah.
movies, I want to hear your ranking of the movies, if you can put a ranking of it together. If not, you just your top
Yeah.
five would be with however you want to do it. I want to hear what your ranking of all the live action Star Wars movies, and then the I think 2008 claymation version of it, the Clone Wars version.
Right.
So I'm curious
Yeah,
to
for the
hear what your
films
ranking of
for
that would
me,
be.
for the films, and I'll admit the films, I love the Star Wars films, but the TV shows, especially the animated stuff, is really where it's at for me. But when it comes to the films, Revenge of the Sith is definitely my top, followed by Return of the Jedi. So I love the ending film for each of the first two trilogies.
Okay.
And then I think it would have to go probably Phantom Menace, A New Hope, Attack of the Clones, and then I'm not a fan of Empire Strikes Back, which I know is a very
Oh, that's
popular film.
interesting.
I'm not a huge fan of that movie. Like, it's good. It's a good movie. They're all good movies, but
Right.
that's just not my personal favorite. The sequel trilogy isn't my favorite era. I do still enjoy the films. I haven't watched them as many times, so I'll say I'm also not super knowledgeable about them because it's been a while since I saw them. But the prequel era is definitely in my top for sure. And I've only actually seen Solo the one time, seen Rogue One a couple of times. And they're both really, really good. I enjoyed Solo a lot, but yeah, prequels
Okay.
are my movies for sure.
Okay. Yeah, Solo again. It's a very underrated movie. It was
Yeah.
I attribute that to it being poorly marketed, and it came out at a very bad time release wise, 'cause I think if I remember right, it came out after Deadpool and
I
just
don't
before
recall.
either Deadpool or Deadpool 2 or one of those, and then it came out just before Infinity War.
Ah,
And
yeah,
so
that sounds about right. And that definitely would have over in Infinity War
yeah,
overshadowed
so
quite a lot.
it
So,
was in a very bad spot.
yeah. Yeah.
I was fine with the movie.
Unfortunately.
I enjoyed it.
It was really good. I need to rewatch it. It's been a while. It's been a while. And my favorite scene from that was the Maul cameo at the end, for sure. So.
I love Rogue One. That is top tier Star Wars for me, and just it's such a good movie. Especially with the ending with Darth Vader and all that whole sequence. That
That
was,
hallway scene is incredible.
I think number one for me, it is Empire Strikes Back. I really. Out of the trilogy movie, the original trilogy movies, that was actually the first one I saw. And
Oh, wow.
yeah, it randomly was on TV and I watched it. And so that was the first one I saw. And so that's what got me into Star Wars. Number two
Gotcha.
is Return of the Jedi. Number three is A New Hope. Then Revenge of the Sith, and then Rogue One. So I'm very much original trilogy kind of guy, even though watching the prequels. But I don't dislike the sequel trilogy. I just think there wasn't a solid overall plan for those movies. Because I mean, each movie had a different director attached to it, and each one tried to do it. It was a mess, but it is what it is, I guess.
I am excited, though, I'll say, for the film that's going to star Daisy Ridley and is going to kind of continue on that. I am
Oh,
really looking forward to seeing what they do with that and to explore her character more because I've really wanted to get more into her character in the sequel. So I am really looking forward to that, I'll say.
yeah. And
And to
then,
all of the films that are coming out because
oh,
those
yeah.
three films are going to be something, that's for sure. I'm
Oh, yeah.
excited.
And I had no issue with, Daisy really and everything. It was, I would say Force Awakens was real. I enjoyed, out of the three, Force Awakens is probably my favorite out of the three. The way they marketed it a little bit was very intriguing because they kind of like put it to where you thought Finn would be the Jedi, and then it just turns out to be Rey overall. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is pretty neat. But I will say the crowd, like the theater, was like wild in that scene where she pulled Luke's lightsaber. It was just wild. But
I do remember that, and I remember the theater going crazy. That was my first Star Wars film in theaters, so I
oh,
did
okay.
not get to watch any of the prequels in theaters, so that was my first theater experience for Star Wars, and I do remember that scene, everybody going wild, and my dad like freaking out sitting next to me because we all went as a family, and he was like, and I'm kind of sitting there like not knowing much about Star Wars, like why is everybody so excited right now? That was pre my Star Wars fan days, so I was kind of like, I'm confused, what? But I do remember that, yeah.
and then with the shows, so the ones we've gotten so far, so Andor, Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, all three seasons of Mandalorian, Tales of the Jedi. I actually have not watched Star Wars Visions.
Okay.
I probably should, but I've never got around to
I
watching that
recommend
just
it.
yet.
Yeah, definitely check it out. It was really good. I watched all of the first season. I watched most of the second season, so it was really good.
Rebels, the Clone Wars series, and then the little mini Clone Wars series that came out not long after Attack of the Clones came out. They've all been interesting in their own ways. I enjoyed Ahsoka. There were some parts, obviously, that probably could have been done better, but overall, I thought they did a pretty solid job with that series.
Ahsoka has been my favorite live action TV show to come out so far. And other than like a couple of things that I would nitpick a little bit, overall, I thought it was absolutely phenomenal and just did a really good job of bringing a lot of the storylines together and setting up for what's going to come next. So I was absolutely thrilled with Ahsoka and just was it was I was so bummed that it came out during the strike and it was really hard, I'll admit, to not talk about it. But the excitement then to come forward after the strike ended to be able to share just how much Ahsoka meant to, I think, especially all of us Clone Wars and Rebels fans, especially. You can I have it for those of you who could see the video, I have my Rebels display behind me. Rebels is like where Star Wars is for me. If it wasn't for Rebels, I don't think I would love Star Wars nearly as much as I do. And so that for me was huge. I cannot tell you how much I bawled my eyes out in episode 5 and 6
Oh,
as
yeah.
both a Clone Wars and Rebels fan. Those moments were just huge to me. So it was an incredible experience getting to watch that for sure.
Yeah, those were definitely the highlight episodes. And There was always it was always this thing before the show came out when they were doing the trailers and TV spots and things like that about Sabine being trained as a Jedi, and a lot of it, a lot of people didn't really know how to feel about that. I was fine with it, depending on how they did it. Dave Filoni handled it. It was an interesting way. I think I would have liked a little bit more of a progression with it, because like we see her at like episode one or two, where she's trying to start small and maybe force pull a cup to her, but obviously it doesn't happen, and we don't see her attempt to do something again until later in the season, where one. Ahsoka reaches out through the Force. Obviously, Sabine can feel that, which is good, moving in the right direction. But then it's kind of like she's able to use the Force. Now, granted, it was a life or death situation. And then her just Force pushing Ezra onto the Star Destroyer.
It did
Now,
feel like a
obviously,
little bit of a jump there. No pun intended.
I mean, obviously she's seen Kanan and Ezra do this kind of stuff throughout Rebels, which is okay, that's fine. It's very honest. But for her to like be able to do it as quick was kind of like But other than that,
Yeah,
I
I
was
did
pretty
think it was
much
a bit of a stretch, but I'll admit, I am really glad they went in that direction for Sabine. And I've seen so many people talk about how, they feel like the idea of what the Force is supposed to be is changing. But I, especially again, as a huge Rebels fan, I always go back to that and say that that's what's been set up for quite a long time. And then even going back further to the Clone Wars, to the very first episode of Clone Wars, which is the episode with Yoda and the clones, as he sits down and explains to them what the Force is. And George Lucas was so heavily involved in Clone Wars, and he talks about how the Force is accessible to everybody. So I'm so glad we finally gotten to see that really come to light. That while there are obviously many Jedi who were Force sensitive, and the Jedi Order sought to train those who were Force sensitive, that doesn't mean that anybody who desires to put in the training and desires to create that connection can't create it. So while I wish they would have shown, like you said, much more of a slower progression, she did have some training with Kanan, so I kind of like, oh, okay, but I would have loved to see a slower progression of that. However, I am really happy they went in that direction, because I think that highlights a theme that Lucas and Filoni have been trying to push since all the way back in 2008. And so while a lot of people were like, oh, this is different, I'm like, I beg to differ. If we take it back all the way, then I think that this has been something that Filoni and Lucas had toyed with going into Clone Wars, and I'm happy to see it come to fruition. So I'm really excited to see Sabine's character continue to grow. And I feel like there was no better choice for a character to bring that concept in than Sabine, especially with the Darksaber arc we had in Rebels. It really brought that full circle, and I absolutely love that.
It did. So it did get muddied a little bit with what George and Filoni have been trying to talk about with the Force, with kind of the prequels, because they introduced the midichlorians, and it kind of threw people off and things like that. But I mean, pretty much anybody, the Force is accessible to anybody. It just takes a lot of dedication and training to be a Jedi, a Sith, or even a Night Sister, because technically they're Force users, albeit a certain different way. And I'm glad it went the way it did, and I really love, because I after the series, me and another person I've had on to do Nerd Talk, we did a season review of Ahsoka, and one of the things we both loved. Now, with Sabine being a Jedi, is now, and even in the show, Huang says that she's a part of an interesting line of Jedi for sure. And because if you look at Count Dooku, train Qui-Gon was, and to backtrack a little bit with Count Dooku, because of Tales of the Jedi. We got a lot more in-depth with that character, which makes a lot more sense with the lineage that he starts off with Qui-Gon, then led to Obi-Wan, albeit Obi-Wan, out of that lineage, he's probably not the most out the realm Jedi, but he's still part of
Yes.
that. He's still part of that lineage because, you know, then he trains Anakin, and then Anakin trains Ahsoka, and then Ahsoka trains Sabine. It's just that lineage of unorthodox Jedi, with the exception of Obi-Wan for the most part.
Yeah, he's definitely the most orthodox out of all of them, for sure. He's a little more by the book than the rest of
Yeah,
them.
and so he it was just such a cool little tidbit that they added into the show, and it's just kind of like, I mean, we love these characters, these unorthodox Jedi, and so that's, I mean, we love them that way. I obviously I hated that we Ray Stevens passed away. That really sucked. And I know Filoni is going to do a good job on trying to move forward with that character because it left so many unanswered questions with him.
Yeah, for
Shin
sure.
Hati was a fan favorite, and I mean,
Love her.
she, I loved I loved her character. She was very fun.
Absolutely.
Out of all the lightsaber fights in the show, and there were some pretty good ones that I enjoyed, but I really enjoyed Sabine and Shin's combats a little bit more. It's just, oh, there's just something about them. The lightsaber combats were amazing. They felt a lot better than what we've seen in recent stuff.
Yeah.
So it's,
And I think too, Hayden Christensen especially, Filoni had done an interview after the strike was over and just talked about Hayden specifically and the fact that he is just incredibly skilled when it
oh
comes
yeah.
to doing lightsaber choreography and quite literally referred to him as the chosen one. He was like, he is so incredibly skilled when it comes to his lightsaber, and it shows because he's been doing this, since the prequels, and in the prequels he was good, but my gosh, in Ahsoka, like it's really clear how skilled he is. And I've been happy to see Iman, who played Ezra Bridger, posting a lot of his own lightsaber stuff too. He really loves working with his lightsaber, and so that's been really fun to see. And I'd say that shows in his combat as well, because he's very clearly skilled with it and has practiced quite a bit. So that's been really cool to see, and I think that added a lot to those fight scenes, was the fact that a lot of them are already quite skilled with their lightsabers. So
Yeah, I was so happy when we obviously when we got Ahsoka versus Anakin, like that first little roundabout. He did that behind the back spin that he does,
the
and
Obi Annie.
I was excited. I was
Yes.
like, he did the thing.
Yep. That is such the most iconic saber spin move that you can possibly do. And I love that the Battle of Heroes, moment between Obi-Wan and Anakin that has ever since then become like a very iconic lightsaber move. And it definitely my favorite move to pull out. I love doing that. That's kind of my go-to when I'm spinning, is go to an Obi Annie. So yeah.
They did such a good job with the casting in this show, because the actor that plays Ezra looks so much like the animated version.
Literally perfect. He does. And
Even,
he's very clearly a fan too.
even Sabine, you could see it at times, and you can hear the voices at times. It just sounds straight out of the show. And I was like, man, they did such a solid job. I will say the one of the things I didn't like were the contacts that some of the actors and actresses were using. They kind of made them look
Yeah.
a little weird to look at times. But other than that, I don't have an issue with them. And oh man, Grand Admiral Thrawn, he I've seen people a little judgy about him, because I think people talk about like he's not acting like he did in the show, but people forget he's been off in this galaxy for like 10 plus years,
Right.
not many resources. not no contact with really anybody except for who's on his Star Destroyer. It's possible he could at some point start to become a little bit unhinged, for sure. But
Yeah.
it was, oh man, he was, oh, he just that presence of him, just when you first see him, it was just like, oh,
To
just
like,
goosebumps.
and I love that they cast his voice actor to
Oh,
reprise that
yeah.
role because I think when it comes to the voice for him, well, obviously the physicality is important. I think Thrawn communicates a lot through his vocals, and through his intonation, and so I feel like out of so many of the characters, having Lars Mikkelsen come back to do Thrawn really was necessary to that role because that voice is such a commanding
Yeah.
presence. And I think that he's not an intimidating figure physically. And so that voice brings that intimidation factor and that presence. And having that was, I feel like, really what sold me on Thrawn's character, and continuing with that story. And so I think he did a phenomenal job with bringing the character into live action, which is certainly no easy feat.
Right.
And so I was really, really happy with the entire cast, but especially with that choice. And like you said, Iman was probably my favorite, to be honest, out of the entire cast. I thought he did
Oh yeah.
such an incredible job as Ezra. He was amazing.
And so moving from Ahsoka to The Mandalorian and its 3 seasons. Season three was definitely a mixed bag compared to the first 2 seasons. I was fine with season three. There were some spots where I was kind of like, this could have been done a little bit different or a different direction. But overall, I thought season three was pretty good. I enjoyed the retaking of Mandalore. The one of the coolest shots of the series is seeing the, what was it called? Oh, I can't think of, not Malachor. Well, I want to say Malachor. That's not what I want to say. What was the name of that creature?
The creature, the
Yeah.
mythosaur.
The Mythosaur.
Yeah. I
That was
really
a cool
wish we'd
shot.
gotten to see more of that.
Yeah.
Because I love like cryptids, like Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that. I love creatures. And so I was like, I want to know more about this mythosaur because I'm very intrigued. I want the whole lore behind it. I need like a book or something or like a whole little like spin-off short. I need to know more about that because me and my like creature fascination was like, ooh, it's a cool monster. I want to see it. I love stuff like that. And that was such a cool concept. I would love to see that explored some more. I'd love to get some background on that. That would be
Oh yeah.
incredible.
With Mandalorian and Ahsoka, like it really sets up and shows how the First Order kind of rises. Because like you're
Yeah.
watching these shows and you're looking at the New Republic and you're just kind of like, you guys are just worthless. It's just
Yeah.
Because it's particularly in Ahsoka when you see Hera trying to convince, listen, there's a good chance these enemies that we're facing are trying to bring back Thrawn and everything like that. And
Right.
you see in The Mandalorian season three, the Shadow Council, just remnants of the Empire. It's just kind of like these threats are out there, but you're not taking it serious. And eventually it does come back and bite you in the butt.
Exactly.
In the
And
sequel
I'm so
trilogy.
glad that we have bridged that gap because I think that was something that adds to the continuation in the sequel trilogy is to get kind of because we went from the end of the original trilogy to how on earth did we mess up this badly
Right.
that we have the First Order. And so seeing that connection, and I think it just highlights too kind of this whole idea of, you know, power. And I'm gonna quote a line from Hamilton, the musical, because there's a scene between George Washington and Hamilton in the second act that reminds me perfectly of this kind of situation where he talks about how winning a war is easy, me, governing is much harder. And clearly we see that happen with the New Republic, how we win the war and then we try to govern and figure things out and it just falls apart.
Right.
And we had some phenomenal leaders and you have some people who really stand out, like Hera and Leia. But then when you have those people, those couple of corrupt people, just one or two is all it takes
Yep.
to topple an empire. And I feel like that has really stood out. And that's been a theme of Star Wars consistently, is that corruption will bring destruction. And so kind of just seeing that cycle repeat itself, it's almost sad watching Ahsoka knowing, or Mandalorian knowing where it's inevitably
Right.
going to lead.
Right.
And so it's hard, but it's part of the story, it's part of the lesson. And so yeah, I'm glad that we bridged that gap and kind of shown how that whole thing happened. So
Then switching to Andor, which for some reason a lot of people didn't like the show as much. I thought it was a very good
I
show.
actually have not even finished Andor.
Really?
I will admit I'm in the not liking Andor camp
Okay,
quite
okay.
a lot.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, Andor was not my cup of tea. And I'm glad that a lot of people enjoyed it. It just really wasn't for me.
That's yeah, that's fair.
I tend to love things that, not that, things can't have a very good, serious message, but one of the things I do love about Star Wars is that it's something that is imaginative and enjoyable for everyone. Andor fell a little bit too much to the dark side of things for me, so just wasn't quite my genre. But I know that it spoke to a lot of people, which is great. So, and I think that, the acting in it was incredible for the few episodes of it that I did watch. So props to the guy who plays Cassian, is it
Yeah.
Diego Luna? I think he did a really phenomenal job with that role. So props to him,
Yeah,
absolutely.
it's and maybe that was just the point of the show, because obviously, it shows you that the rebels were just as bad as the Empire in ways of going about things. Because there's a part like towards the ending of the series where one of the main characters is talking about how what he's doing now is important, because he's working towards a future and a sunrise that he will never get to see. And it so it's very slow burning, which I don't have a problem. If a show is slow burn, as long as it's interesting, and I think Andor did that enough to pique my interest of the show, and I just really enjoyed it. But yeah, it's not for everybody, which is fine. There was one guy I saw where he said it wasn't Star Wars, but I was just kind of like, what does that even mean? And so it's just and then Book of Boba Fett. Again, it's a show I think a lot of people what?
I enjoyed a lot of aspects of Book of Boba Fett. It
Yeah.
certainly wasn't my favorite, but there were a lot of aspects of it that I did enjoy, and I liked getting to see Boba Fett's character more. I know that it differs quite a bit from the comics, and that was a big issue that a lot of people had with Boba Fett's character. But I think in keeping with the canonical storyline and a little bit more of the sympathetic version of Boba Fett that Filoni and Favreau wanted to bring to light, I really liked a lot of the choices they made with his character, and I really loved the Tusken Raider storyline. I
Okay.
thought that was incredibly well executed. I really loved that. The rest of the show fell a little flat for me, but I thought that that was something really different that we hadn't seen, and that was really well executed. So I loved that.
I think a lot of people felt like it kind of hurt the show bringing in Din Djarin and the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
You're also
It was
seeing,
a great episode, but it didn't feel like Boba Fett. I wanted to see more of Boba Fett.
Because I mean,
Don't get me wrong, I'll always be happy to see Ahsoka, but
it was just weird, because you had Din Djarin, you had Ahsoka, you had Grogu, you had Luke, and so it was just weird to have them in there in the Book of Boba Fett. But
I was like, I'm confused. How come the title character's not in this
exactly.
episode? I thought it was gonna be like a little short scene and it just kept going. And I was watching with my husband and my sister, and we're kind of just looking at each other like, okay, where's Boba? Is he gonna
So,
come back? And then the episode ended, and we were kind of like, okay, that was like really good, but did they accidentally release an episode from Mandalorian season three?
yes, yeah, so,
And I'm like, what?
gosh, it was just something. And
Yeah, you know.
then Clone Wars and Rebels, which we talked about. So for those who are
That's my
watching,
thing.
we gotta, me and her have kind of talked about it like a little bit off air, but we both love it. You're more of a Rebels fan,
I would say
whereas,
it's very close, but I do. Rebels is like, if you asked me to take something out of media that was my favorite, it would be Rebels. Rebels is like my favorite story that has ever existed. So.
as but like for me, I'm more of a Clone Wars kind of guy. I've all oh, man, I just love always love Clone Wars based content. And I remember you posting a TikTok because you were talking about like what were like the saddest moments or maybe saddest deaths
Yeah.
in Star Wars, and you picked where Kanan sacrificed himself to save Hera and Ezra, and he gets his sight back. Oh, well, spoilers for if you've not seen Rebels, you probably should go see Rebels by this point. But
Go watch Rebels. Go watch Rebels right now.
and so and then I picked Fives' death.
Yeah.
Hindsight, I
That I think for me is the saddest Clone Wars death. That probably takes second place out of all the saddest Star Wars deaths for me is
Right.
Fives, for sure.
See, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, is that one the saddest? Or is the final, kind of that final episode of season seven, where you basically have all the clones against Rex and Ahsoka? And I was like, oh, that's pretty sad too. But I
How can you
probably
even
would.
pick? It's just all
Exactly.
devastating. And then you have
Exactly.
Darkness and Umbara too. Just
Oh
the
my
whole idea of
gosh.
the brotherhood of these clones, and we get to know so many of them individually and watch almost every single one of them one by one get killed off in Clone Wars is something that I will never emotionally recover from. So thanks, Dave Filoni, for that.
Exactly.
But yeah, Fives, I cannot watch that scene without shedding a
I
few tears for sure.
think with Fives, the reason it hurts so much is because we're watching this with the already knowledge of what's gonna happen in episode three. We already know what's gonna happen. And it's just watching Fives come to the realization of what's going on, the whole conspiracy, everything about it, and he's not able to let Rex or Anakin know. He gets shot by Commander Fox, and it's just
And then it goes on to become even more tragic when we actually see Order 66 take place from Ahsoka's perspective. And I will never forget watching that moment
Oh,
when Rex said to Ahsoka, the only thing he could manage to say before the chip activated for him as he fought it, so clearly fought it, was to tell her to find Fives. And the realization, putting myself in his shoes and imagining what must have been going on in his head, the horrible realization that Fives was absolutely seconds before letting that programming take him over mentally. And then having to live with that guilt afterwards after having his chip removed. And so looking at Fives' death from Rex's perspective, especially just devastates me. And actually, at Celebration, Dee Bradley Baker mentioned, and I even have a clip of it, the video's on my TikTok. He mentioned that Fives was to him the most tragic death in the entirety of Star Wars and really was difficult for him to voice emotionally.
Oh, I
And he said that
bet.
he walked out of the studio that day quite shook, quite sad, really devastated from having to do that scene. So that was
Man.
really interesting to hear from his perspective. He's voiced every clone in the entirety of Clone Wars and Rebels and so much. And for that moment to have stuck out to him so distinctly, I was like, It's a huge props to the fact that the writing of and the
Yeah.
plot of Clone Wars is incredible, but it's just absolutely tragic.
It definitely, like, it was just wild watch just watching that go down. And I think another good thing about Clone Wars that I liked, Rebels was good from a story by like their seasons was very coherent in telling one story, whereas Clone Wars, you had good arcs and then sometimes individually good episodes or not really that good episodes. Like with the Clone Wars, you had the Umbara arc, which is probably the best arc out of the entire series.
It's incredible. It's devastating, but it's incredibly well done.
The Mortis arc, the Second Battle of Geonosian arc, even some of the Mandalorian stuff with Obi-Wan, Darth Maul coming back, survive. There
That's
was like
some of my
so many
favorites from
crazy
Clone Wars
stuff.
for sure. Oh yeah.
I with Rebels, I think one of what it freaks me out thinking about it too at times, but like it's the episode. This is just after Kanan had died. Ezra kind of like falls asleep and he wakes up in not the world between worlds, but in kind of like this kind of dreamscape, and it's the Los Wolves, and it's that giant Los Wolf. I was like, oh man, that terrified. I would just hate to be in that moment. That freaked me out watching that.
One of my favorite things about Rebels, is the fact that Dave Filoni leaned very hard into the fact that the Force is not only found in people. In beings, but I mean but in everything, anything that lives and breathes. And I really loved the very strong connection that Ezra managed to form with so many of the different creatures in Rebels, and the Loth Wolf especially being one of them. And then kind of seeing after Kanan had died, the transition. We know so many Jedi, just become one with the Force and aren't able to maintain their individuality. And then there's Jedi like Qui-Gon and Yoda and Obi-Wan who manage to undergo the training to maintain that individuality. But for Kanan, it's kind of this in-between place. And I'd like to think that it's because he was so connected to Ezra, and Ezra had such a strong connection with these creatures that Kanan kind of ended up in this in-between after he died for a short amount of time. And while he didn't maintain his individuality, he didn't become a Force ghost, he managed to create this connection with this Loth Wolf so that it was able to still communicate to Ezra the last couple of things that Ezra needed to hear from Kanan. And that's just one of my favorite things in Rebels in general, is just the idea that everything is connected. The Force is in everything. And then I feel like they carried that idea really beautifully into Ahsoka. But that scene, well, I'll admit I am absolutely agreeing with you. I would be terrified to wake up and have like a 10-foot wolf standing over me. I love that scene. I'll admit I don't watch it much because I can't bring myself to watch that episode much. Most of the time when I rewatch Rebels, which is very frequent, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it. But I usually stop around episode 8 of season 4, and I'm like, can I bring myself to continue to finish that season? So I usually stop and restart because I'm like, okay, and they lived happily ever after the end. Cool. I don't want to. That scene doesn't exist. No, but it is still really beautiful, and so I love to see the continuation and the culmination of that story, despite how hard it is for me to watch.
I'm trying to think, what's another I know another good episode of Rebels I enjoyed was the Malachor episodes, especially with Ahsoka fighting Darth Vader.
That
That
is my
was
favorite scene in the entirety of Star Wars, is that scene. It is one of the most devastating to me, but it's so insanely well done. It's so clear. One of the things I love about Dave as a director and a storyteller is how clear his vision is. And just to see the carry through of Anakin and Ahsoka's relationship into that moment. And every word, every line of dialogue is so precise. It is incredibly just, it's so purposely put together to really wrap up in a sense, I think, until we got to Ahsoka, but until that point, to really wrap up for Ahsoka a lot of very unfinished things. And I'm reading the Ahsoka book right now by
Oh,
E.T.
okay.
Johnston, and so it's given me even a different perspective on that scene reading that book. And slight spoiler warning for the book if you haven't read it, but there's just a lot of mentions for Ahsoka of Anakin because she's actively grieving what she believes is his death.
Yeah.
And so reading that and then thinking about that scene and having that always in the back of my mind while I'm reading this is making that scene even more devastating because there's the combination of the joy of knowing that somebody she loved so dearly, her brother, wasn't dead, and then the horrible realization of the fact that his fate was one that was worse than death, and to know what he became. And so that even has given me even more of a deeper perspective into that scene, reflecting on the time that she spent grieving that death and believing for well over like 15 years that he had
Yeah.
died. And so that scene is, I think, one of the most well executed in the entirety of Star Wars. That story arc is phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's really nothing like it.
Yeah. It definitely, because like going back to Ahsoka, because what, and it shows that people have not watched Rebels or Clone Wars, because a lot of the stuff people talk about Ahsoka, there's just like, her mood, she always just, she doesn't seem cheery, like she always seems brooding. And like, if you had not watched Clone Wars or Rebels, you would understand why she is the way she is. She has been
Right. She
through
has gone through
so much
so
trauma,
much.
and it even shows you in the show, because she's like a 14-year-old girl fighting in a war. It like, stuff like that can really change you. And then not only that, you seeing your master, who you spent like about 3 years with during the Clone Wars, you see him turn to the dark side, and you think to yourself, if I had been there, would that have happened? If I had not abandoned him when I did by leaving the Jedi Order, could I have helped maybe Obi-Wan keep him from falling to Darth Sidious? And it's just like,
Right.
and she's full. It's just trauma. She has all this trauma throughout the first half of
And that
Ahsoka that doesn't get
absolutely.
resolved until she reconnects with Anakin, and then after that, all of that's resolved, and she's kind of back to who she was in the earlier seasons of Clone Wars.
Yeah, Rosario really did a good job of showing after she had that kind of conflict with Anakin, and she had that opportunity to kind of resolve, work through a lot of her emotions, her
Yeah.
very tangled up feelings about him, that she did a really good job of then bringing in aspects of Ahsoka's characteristics from Clone Wars into the way that she portrayed Ahsoka in those last couple episodes that she hadn't been doing. Because it's very clear, like you said, to see that difference between Ahsoka as this incredibly traumatized person who has lost practically everybody that she
Yeah.
ever cared about, who has no family, no remembrance of her original family either, and has lost absolutely everything. Fought in a war for almost her entire life,
Yeah.
and then had to fight in another war. And now is potentially faced with a third one. And so, yeah, Rosario did a really good job of carrying that over. And I was seeing her then after that and her come out in the white costume, kind of reflective of Gandalf a
Oh
little
yeah.
bit, the
Oh
whole Gandalf to white
yeah.
concept. It's really, really cool. It's really awesome. I just love her character arc in Ahsoka. It's amazing.
Dave love he loves the star his Lord of the Rings, and
He does. Oh
loves
my
his
gosh.
wolf culture.
Yes. I love some of the drawings that he's done with Gandalf and Ahsoka. If you've never checked it out, Dave has an Instagram where he used to post, and a Facebook too, and a Twitter, several different accounts where he used to post a lot of the art that he did. He hasn't posted in like 3 years, which is sad because I would love to see more of it. But he basically drew his own fan art. And there are multiple Lord of the Rings Star Wars crossover drawings that he did. He did one with Ahsoka and Gandalf. He actually did multiple with Ahsoka and Gandalf, and then I'm pretty sure he did one of Yoda and Gandalf too. And then there's just a whole bunch of other really cool artwork on there. Several different depictions of the Loth Wolf. There's Ahsoka on the Loth Wolves. He's got some art, awesome art on his account. So if you haven't seen those, like, go check it out. I posted a couple videos talking about some of those and showing some of those, just because I was surprised that a lot of people have never seen them. And they're
Honestly, I
so
didn't know anything
cool.
about that.
I love that he basically created his own fan art. There's some Hera and Kanan pictures that are like my favorite thing that have ever existed. He like painted them happy, which is like, we don't really get that. And so there's this one picture we did of them like holding hands and just running. And I'm like, they're happy. They got to be happy in Dave's imagination for like 5 whole seconds. And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons I love Dave, is he's just a fan. He's just a massive fan above all else, and I think that's why his work is so incredible.
Two shows before I get before we forget to mention them, Bad Batch and Kenobi.
Bad Batch.
I love Bad
Love
Batch. Oh man, again, I mean, obviously back to Clone Wars, their first introduction is so cool. They're such cool characters.
Oh, absolutely.
I enjoyed both seasons of the Bad Batch. They're just good. It's good Star Wars.
I'm so sad we only get one more. I was
Oh
in that
yeah.
panel when they announced that, and we were all cheering, and then the cheering stopped when
Oh yeah.
final season came across the screen, and the room kind of went silent for a
Oh.
second as we all sat there and simultaneously were like, no, it can't be the last one. So I'm very anticipating season 3, and almost not because I don't want it to be over. But I'm very hopeful. I'm also in the Tech Lives camp. I don't want to believe he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. So I'm in the Tech Lives camp.
What were your thoughts on Kenobi?
Kenobi was a mixed bag for me too.
Okay.
I think that it's one of the live action projects that I've enjoyed more. There were Again, a mixed bag. There were some moments that definitely weren't my favorite. There were some choices when it comes to storyline and just some smaller details. But I will say, I absolutely loved the relationship between Obi-Wan and Leia. And I thought that was a really nice way. I know a lot of people were like, well, what about the whole Obi-Wan, you're my only hope? That scene doesn't seem to communicate they know each other, but then they really perfectly wrapped that up in the very last episode, where he explained to her it would put both of our lives in danger if anybody knew that we had any kind of connection to each other.
Yeah.
And so I think that the fact that they had a relationship is really beautiful, and the closest that Leia ever gets to knowing her real family. And just did a lot of character development for setting up Leia's character even more, which she's already one of the best characters that exists in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And to give her more, Vivian is a star. That little girl is so talented. It's not even funny. And her and Ewan McGregor's chemistry, as kind of this father and daughter duo, was really phenomenal. And then, of course, my favorite scene was the final episode, Obi-Wan and Vader, because it very nicely and very purposefully reflected the whole Malachor, the Darth Vader and Ahsoka fight, with the mask, and the fact that it was the other half of the mask that
Yeah.
broke. And so I really appreciated that detail. Again, definitely a mixed bag for me, but that scene had my jaw on the floor. And just the dialogue there too was so reflective of, I think, the fact that, Anakin and Obi-Wan had this very different relationship than Anakin and Ahsoka as master and apprentice versus apprentice and master. and kind of the two different sides of that, what that relationship and then that subsequent guilt looked like for Obi-Wan versus Ahsoka. And I feel like they highlighted that in that scene and in the different halves of the mask and the dialogue there, that Obi-Wan had to let go of the fact that he wasn't the one who destroyed Anakin. It was not his fault. He did not fail as a teacher. He wasn't perfect, but ultimately Anakin made his own choice. And I love Anakin, but he did make his own choice. And so I thought that that scene was worth the entire show for me, for sure. And that moment was really, really well done. For sure. And Hayden too, in that same
Oh
panel,
yeah.
mentioned that that was his favorite scene. And he's watched Clone Wars and Rebels, so he knew about the significance of that as well. And I think that was really clearly brought in. It was both him and Ewan McGregor knowing about the Ahsoka and Anakin fight and reflecting that in that scene. And I think that showed through really
Yeah.
clearly.
Yeah, like it really hit home for sure with that because of during the fight, Vader basically says, "You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker, I did." And what I think a lot of people missed was, like, while he's talking, there's like a blue coloring, like, on the face, and the broken mask. But the moment he says, "I killed Anakin Skywalker," it immediately turned red, and I was just like, "Oh,
Yeah.
that is cool.
The
That is
lighting
amazing."
choice was so, I was that moment blew my mind. I was like, wow, that's attention to detail. That is incredible attention to detail in that moment, and very clearly purposeful.
Yeah, it was.
Very clearly purposeful for that.
When that happened, I was just like, "Oh, that's just chills right there." Just, oh my gosh. It was cool seeing like these other Inquisitors and things like that. The Grand Inquisitor design, don't know
Not my
it.
favorite.
Now, especially when you just saw his species in episode three,
Right.
and you get that, it's just good. I enjoy Kenobi, but I also am in the camp. It's probably a show that didn't need to be made. You probably could have just kind of like how Black Widow was made for Marvel. It's a situation where if you were going to make it, you probably should have made it a lot sooner than what you did. But
Yeah, I would agree. I'd agree.
overall, I still enjoyed it. It was really cool watching it too, because obviously he's in hiding, he can't use the Force or anything like that. It was really cool watching him as the series went on, him start to, all that training he did as a Jedi just start to come back to him, and everything. It was just so cool to watch. And then it
Yeah.
was just so sad too, because in the first like one or two episodes, when he's looking for Leia, you just hear that voice of a clone veteran.
Oh,
Some people were just like, it would have been
awful.
it some people were like, it would have been a lot more, it would have been like even worse if like that clone had called him General, realizing he knows he's a Jedi. I was like, oh
Yeah.
man, it's crazy. It
The
had
fact
some
that
good
they
moments.
ended up revealing that that was Oppo too later on when they made the figure for that one, I was like, no, not Oppo. I love Oppo. And so that was extra devastating when I found that out because they didn't say who it was in The
Right.
Mandalorian. When they made the figure, they confirmed it was Oppo. And I was like, no. Oh, that devastated me. Seeing the clones is always
Oh yeah,
very emotional.
obviously. You just feel
And
bad for him.
then, right. And then I will say my other favorite bit from Obi-Wan was Qui-Gon Jinn at the very end. And I will
Oh
say
yeah.
I was waiting for that. I was like, where is Qui-Gon Jinn? He has to eventually show up because we never heard anything past that one moment at the end of Revenge of the Sith when Yoda says that he has training for Obi-Wan. But it's very clear that that did not end up coming to fruition because they both went into hiding. And so I was like, well, we see Obi-Wan as a Force ghost later on. So he has to undergo part of that training, at least to some extent. So I was just waiting. I was like, where is Qui-Gon? Where is Qui-Gon? And I cannot tell you. I literally like fell. I was like, finally, when Qui-Gon showed up at the end, I was like, yes, he's going to now embark on that process of training and slowly become the man that we get to see in A New Hope. This incredibly wise man, this incredible Jedi master. And so I would love to get to see some of that
Yeah.
to an extent. If we were ever able to, I want to see some of that because I think that that really just gives even more depth to an already incredibly well fleshed out character. But yeah, so, mixed bag, but definitely had its moments. For sure. And I have rewatched it and enjoyed it. And so I'm still really glad that we got it because some of those moments are moments that I absolutely love. So
I'm surprised they got Liam Neeson to come just to do that little cameo. That was really surprising.
he is a very avid Star Wars fan. In fact, he actually voiced the he voiced Qui-Gon Jinn in the Clone Wars in that season
Oh,
six
yeah,
arc.
that's right.
He
He
insisted
did.
on
He
coming
did.
back and doing the voice himself. And then he did older Qui-Gon in Tales of the Jedi. His son
Did
voiced
the younger.
younger Qui-Gon, and he did older Qui-Gon.
That's wild.
So he is like the only person, he's one of the only characters in the entirety of Star Wars that, aside from like video games or some of the Lego stuff, that you can say actually is the only person to play that character because he's always insisted on coming back. And he's one of the only actors who has come back and reprised his character in Clone Wars. There's very few of them. And so to see
Crazy.
his passion for the character is really awesome.
Yeah,
I
it's
love him
just
for
crazy.
that.
It's just crazy. So as we get ready to wrap up, tell us about some of your cosplays that you do when it comes to Star Wars.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of dipping my toes into cosplay a little bit. But I do cosplay Hera Syndulla. It's still a work in progress. I'm continuing to make improvements on my costume, but I did get the chance to use that cosplay at Star Wars Celebration. And it was really cool because the day that the Ahsoka trailer debuted was the day I was in cosplay and I was with my sister who cosplays Sabine. And so after that trailer dropped, the amount of people who came up to us and were like, "Did you see the trailer?" I actually did a couple interviews that day too. I'd been stopped by a couple different like news or actually Star Wars Celebration themselves even interviewed us just because I think it was so cool for those of us who were dressed as those characters to see their live action debut in the trailer. So that was a really cool moment. And I really enjoy cosplaying. I wouldn't say I'm particularly good at it. There are far more talented cosplayers out there, so it's more of a hobby for me. But I do really enjoy it, and it's just really fun to kind of step into that character a little bit. And I love doing it. It's always just so fun. And I enjoy the cosplay community and atmosphere at conventions, especially Star Wars Celebration. So I do that, and that's pretty much all I do. However, I do have hopes to do an Ahsoka cosplay at some point. I have an Ahsoka like Disney bound that I do, but I do hope to eventually do a more accurate, like full on cosplay, do the full orange and everything, and do the
Right.
full green for Hera, but haven't attempted the full look for Ahsoka yet, but it's gonna come in the future. I'll eventually get to it. So yeah.
right, guys. With that being said, that is where we will end this episode of Nerd Talk. Don't forget, there's one also coming out on Friday, so be sure to tune in for that one. But for this one, how can people follow and support you? And obviously, it's up on screen now for those who are watching.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on TikTok and Instagram right now. I'm hoping in 2024 to start posting on YouTube as well. But right now, if you want to follow me on TikTok, you can follow me at it's nerdy underscore girl 501. Sorry. And then my Instagram is just ever so slightly different. It is nerdy girl underscore 501 underscore. So if you want, go ahead and follow me out there. I just make fandom-based content. I'm also a Christian as well, so I make some faith and fandom content. I have a series that comes out on Fridays where I talk about how different aspects of fandom relate to my faith as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so I talk about some of that stuff and just all things nerdy. So yeah, follow me if you're interested in that. I'd love to have you along.
So be sure to go and give her a follow, show her some support, and also check out the channel here as well. is 2024. We got a lot of content coming to the channel and a lot of stuff you guys are going to like as well. So be sure you hit that like and subscribe button to stay up to date on everything. But as per usual, thank you guys for watching. I hope you guys have a great week. And I will see you guys on Friday with the next episode of Nerd Talk. But other than that, we'll catch you guys in the next video. See ya.